Five, I'm hanging out with special guest Buck Weising of A to Z Sports. Want to wish everybody a happy National Cat Day. Just saw on Twitter in this last break that it is National Cat Day. I believe it was Lisa Loeb, 90s folk rock singer, who had tweeted that. So all of you cat people, we wish you the happiest of National Cat Days. About to talk to Spiro Ditas, who is on the call for CBS Sports. Titans and Bengals on Sunday. He joins us now. Spiro, I got to ask you this to start things off, because I know you're very proud of your Greek heritage, and you can see it on your social media posts and that kind of thing. When I was growing up in Harrisburg, Arkansas, one of my best friends was a guy. His mom was Greek and his dad was from Harrisburg, Arkansas. They met when his dad was in the Air Force, and that dude lived on the beach in Athens, but he spent summers in rural Arkansas. You ever think about spending any time in rural Arkansas? You know, there's a big Greek community there. At least there was in the 80s.
You know, I first of all, it's good to be with you guys. Arkansas seems as far away from Greece to me if I closed my eyes and thought, man, what's like the opposite of where I am when we're in Greece? But come to think of it, rural Arkansas actually reminds me of a lot of where my family's from. My parents are from a tiny village about 90 minutes from Athens. Very remote, very rural, basically a bunch of farmers. And so that way of life, that lifestyle actually reminds me of spending the summers with my grandfather, who was a farmer, and getting up on his donkey and riding to the fields where he would work the land. And so, you know, once you get past like the initial shock of the difference, you know, you think of Greece and the Riviera and the beaches and the Mediterranean, that's a very small part of the country and the lifestyle. So that actually makes some sense. I'm going to have to check out rural Arkansas and live it and just see how close it is to what I'm used to.
I love it.
Well, yeah, you can do that, Spiro, after, of course, the Titans and the Bengals take place this coming Sunday. But you and I, perhaps our folks were neighbors across the Mediterranean. I am of Egyptian heritage. You're, of course, of Greek heritage. I want to know, because this was a thing in Egypt when I lived there, with my parents for a couple of years. Do they in Greece have donkeys that pull garbage carts behind them, as opposed to what we know to be garbage collection trucks here in the United States? Is that a thing in Greece as it is in Egypt?
You know, I have not seen that myself, but I can say that donkeys are used for basically every facet of blue collar life. So whether it's transporting a farmer's grandkids or transporting hay and all kinds of heavy machinery that that we as humans cannot take with us over the course of miles to get to where we need to go with our farming equipment. Those poor animals, man, I've seen them loaded up like you can't believe. So that would not surprise me to see that that was one of the functions that they're used in Egypt. And I grew up with a lot of friends from Egypt, very similar cultures, very, very warm people, and that is on my bucket list, man, to go to Cairo and to experience other more remote parts of that country. First chance I get, and once we can get past this pandemic, you know, hopefully the borders will open and we can start traveling again, but that is on my list for sure.
Yeah, they'll take your tourism dollars, no doubt. They were hurting before the pandemic started with everything going on in the Middle East. But a subject for another day. We'll quit making donkeys out of ourselves, and we'll talk to Spiro Ditas of CBS. We'll of course be on the call between the Bengals and the Titans on Sunday with Adam Archuleta. Spiro, you and Adam had the Browns and Bengals last weekend. Cincy was giving them a run for their money until Baker Mayfield fit just an absolute bullet. Like, I think about 12 seconds left on the clock. What did you see from the Cincinnati defense that seems to just absolutely sabotage what the Bengals have done, what the Bengals offense has done anyway, to get up early on these teams?
Yeah, you know, if you're a Bengals fan, man, it was just a rough finish. And if you think about it, the last couple of weeks has been really brutal. You know, you go back 2 weeks to the game in Indy, they jump out to that 21-0 lead early in the second quarter, and you think you're on easy street, and the defense unable to protect that lead. Last week, you know, a different game, certainly. First of all, last week's game, one of the craziest, wildest games that Adam and I have a chance to call. I mean, it was literally back and forth, alternating scores from the opening kick right up until that last Baker Mayfield touchdown pass. So just a really fun game to watch. It sounds crazy to say, guys, but I think the defense is making small strides, but they're moving in the right direction. They've had a lot of issues that they've had to work through, injuries to Geno Atkins, who has kind of been the horse up front of that defense. He's still not close to where he's been. Who knows if he'll get there? They've had this whole Carlos Dunlap situation, kind of a black cloud hanging over the team. They finally elect to move him this week. So, you know, speaking to Zach Taylor a little while ago, their head coach, Lou Anarumo, we just got off our Zoom calls with him about 30 minutes ago. They all feel like they're moving in the right direction, and the urgency level to figure it out couldn't be higher right now because of the fact that you have in Joe Burrow this really once-in-a decade-type prospect as a first-year quarterback. I mean, to see what he's doing, the aptitude that he has for the position, the pre-snap recognition, the comfort level, I've never been as impressed with a rookie quarterback, and I'm a huge Andrew Luck guy. I mean, he's the first guy that comes to mind, guys, in terms of how quickly he was able to get it as a rookie quarterback. I think Joe Burrow is a half a step, maybe even a full step in front of what Luck was. That's how I'm impressed I am with this kid. And when you sit and talk to him, his mannerisms, the way he breaks it down with my partner, Archuleta, when they're just talking about football, it's nothing about this kid tells you that he's a rookie. It's just really, really impressive to see.
Spiro Dedis from CBS Sports, NBA on TNT. You've heard him a lot of different places. Our guest on the call Sunday for Titans and Bengals. And this is a guy who's throwing it all over the yard and what had over 400 in that game that you and Adam just called against Cleveland. And he's facing a Titans defense that has been susceptible to the pass and has been susceptible extremely, like at a historical rate on third down. If you're the Titans, this is not a good matchup, Spiro, because this is a young quarterback, like you said, who is getting it, and he's got a lot of weapons to throw to as well.
Yeah, you know, and look, A.J. Green is starting to get back to maybe not the A.J. of old, but certainly a player that can become a very dangerous piece for this offense. You know, he had almost 100 yards 2 weeks ago. Last week, close to 90 again. He's been targeted, I think, 24, 25 times. So it's clear that the chemistry now between Burrow and A.J. Green is getting stronger. T. Higgins, rookie wide receiver, is really starting to impress. And then, of course, you've got Tyler Boyd, who, for my money, could be the most underrated wide receiver in the league. 1,000 yards each of the last 2 years. A.J. Green says that he's the best slot receiver in the league, and it's not even close. So, you know, you start to put these three guys together. That's about as deep a wide receiver core as you can find, certainly in the AFC and certainly in that division. But the unfortunate thing for them now is they have a lot of injuries. They lost three starters on their offensive line last week. I'd be very concerned with that if I'm Zach Taylor, and they're still going to be without Joe Mixon this week, who we all know is a huge, huge piece of this offense. But, you know, all that said, it just, especially the offensive line injuries, guys, it just makes what Burrow is doing that much more impressive. You know, you lose one offensive starter during the course of a game on the offensive line, I mean, it's kind of a big deal. They lost three of them in the same game, and he didn't skip a beat. I mean, he drove them down the field at the end, put them in front with, I think, a minute and 6 seconds left in the game, and he's just Joe Cool. You know, he's just I can't say enough good things about him. He's just really fun to watch.
You sent a shiver down the entire audience's spine, Spiro, when you referenced Andrew Luck, because, of course, Titans fans have just horrible memories of this man who retired undefeated against the Tennessee Titans. And you and Adam have seen a ton of Titans football for as many of their broadcasts as you've been on. I wonder, Spiro, how much different this Titans team looks compared to what you've seen in years past. And I say that because from my point of reference, I've lived here for 5 years, 4 years covering the team, and you'll probably be a little more diplomatic than me about this, but I could not stand watching them on offense for the longest time. And now the script has completely flipped, at least from my perspective, where they're scoring points on almost every drive and the defense can't make a stop to save their lives.
Yeah, you know, I think it's, first of all, certainly the outlook of this team from an outsider's perspective has changed, and I think it's a testament to Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff and everything that he's done. Because, you know, it's one thing to have talented players in this league, but
the teams that I've seen have success, there was an attitude when you walked into the building. There was a confidence and a certain standard. And I think when you consider where Mike has come from, all those years in New England, he's just a winner. And Mike is one of the few coaches that like makes me nervous. You walk into a room with him to meet with him, and he's stern. I mean, he is no nonsense. He is businesslike. And I think that attitude and that standard really permutates through the entire locker room. There's an instant respect factor, and there's a belief that, you know, we're a championship contending team. And I think you're seeing that now trickle down to all different parts of the organization. It starts from that, and then, you know, you need the players, you know, and I just think the last couple of years, John Robinson has done an unbelievable job filling this team with players and depth at multiple positions. And what they've done is very, very, very impressive. You know, Ryan Tannehill's resurrection has been a huge story in the league the last couple of years. People thought he was done, and he's resurrected himself, and that's been a great story to see. And Derrick Henry is on a run since the end of that 2018 season, the likes of which we haven't seen from a running back in I don't know how many years. You know, he's just he's such a physical specimen, guys. So you put all of this together, and you have the makings of something that could potentially be very special. The question will be with this defense, can they shore that side of the football up? And we'll just have to wait and see what happens the second half of the season.
Yeah, we'll find out more about the status of Adoree Jackson, of course, later in the week. Spiro Dedes of CBS here with us on Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. The Zooms or however you guys are doing in years past with meeting with Vrabel before the game, before the broadcast, it's funny that you mentioned the sternness, because I swear to you, Spiro, I'm at these press conferences, or, you know, in another life at these press conferences every day, now on Zoom every day with him, and you have to be so much on your toes, because he will absolutely go back at you if you are not prepared. This is not a man that you can mail it in with, even as the media. He even coaches us up.
Yeah, no, listen, we're always prepared, and we're kind of we know what we want to ask these coaches before we go into a meeting. Mike Vrabel is like the only coach who I literally go through all my questions before I meet with him, because, like you said, if he doesn't think you're prepared, or if he doesn't think you're asking him, you know, a very intelligent football question, he's going to let you know about it. And, you know, it's funny, my partner Adam Archuleta sometimes he'll ask like these long-winded questions. And last year during one of our meetings, Mike said, you know what, Arch, just ask the question, man. It's like, I got to go. I got three meetings after this. And we still break Arch's chops about it, you know. About, listen, man, get to the question. You know, let's not keep him longer than we have to, because it makes for an uncomfortable situation. But we love Mike. I mean, he's turned the organization around, and he deserves all the credit.
Spiro Dedes, our guest from CBS Sports. How strange has it been for you guys, just COVID, with the way it impacts your meetings and your travel, and then you go and you sit in an empty building and you do a football game where normally there should be 70,000 people there going bananas? What has that process been like for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been weird. It was definitely weird the week one, because no preseason. We hadn't been through any kind of dress rehearsal. And in this business, it's such a one-on-one deal, you know, whether it's meeting with the coaches and the players in a boardroom or in their facility or at their hotel. So much of the trust that's built to get what we need from these guys is based off that one-on-one relationship. And now that's all gone away overnight. So, you know, fortunately, we do have enough of a relationship with most of the coaches and players to where we can still get what we need via Zoom. That's been a bit of a challenge. Once you get to the game, you know, once the game starts, it's basically football. It's basically the same. I mean, we have the plexiglass in between us, which makes for a challenging situation. The biggest adjustment for us has just been, like you said, calling these games in basically empty stadiums. You know, Cleveland had 12,000 people. We did a game in Miami. They had, I think, 13,000. But, you know, these stadiums are so huge. That's basically like having nothing. And that's the one thing that really we've missed. The energy that you get, the boost from the atmosphere in so many of these stadiums. Like this week would have been fun. You know, since it's a big game for the Bengals, you've got Tennessee coming to town, a team who's a title contending team. And the place would have been, you know, really fun to be in. Now you kind of have to manufacture that energy as a broadcaster. And now, you know, look, we've all got to earn our paycheck now. And and sometimes generate an excitement and enthusiasm. I will say, thank God for the artificial crowd noise that they're pumping through, because without that, it would really, really be challenging.
Yeah, it has sounded good on the broadcast, for sure, Spiro. All right, before we let you go, that last thing I was going to ask you about is, we always love getting people's impressions of Nashville. Obviously, you've been here multiple times, and COVID would affect your ability to do much while you're here, I would imagine. But how much do you enjoy coming to Nashville?
Oh, my God. It's become a top three city for me. We stay in that area. God, what's the name of the district? I think they call it the Gulch. You guys could probably tell me. Fantastic. I mean, just up and coming. Every time I've been there the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, there's the number of cranes around the city has just really been astounding. I mean, the level of development, it's clearly that it's one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And I just love everything about it. I love the people. I've always loved coming to the South, whether it's for an NBA game or a college game. And now with the Titans, with the emergence now, I've always thought it's such a great sports town. And it's been cool to see now the resurgence of this franchise get to this level, you know, to a point where there's an anticipation now for Titans games every week. And it's been really fun. And we're looking forward to getting our first one with these guys this week.
Well, Spiro, when you get ready to spend that summer in Arkansas, let me know. Mm-hmm. I can find you some amazing places to stay and visit. You just I'll be your travel agent. You just holler at me whenever you need that.
I'm going to take you up on that, brother. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. Spiro and Adam Archuleta on the call on Sunday right here, Titans and Bengals. Always great to hear from you, Spiro. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, buddy.
Spiro Dedas, that dude is still a very young guy, Buck, and has been in the public spotlight for a long time calling games. Was the voice of the Lakers for a while. I mean, this guy's done a whole lot. He's one of those guys that's really interesting because there's nothing you can't talk to him about where he hasn't been involved in it. But he ought to know that Bengals team pretty well, having the Bengals-Browns game last week. That was a fun one to watch. This one on Sunday has the potential to be fun, too. One thing we had teased was, obviously, this is a team, the Bengals, are struggling on defense. Could be a very big opportunity for Derrick Henry. And you wanted to get kind of deeper into the season that number 22 is having this year, right? Now, you may want to talk some about his hamburger judgment, because he's taken an absolute beating on that for the last 12 hours on social media.
I mean, embarrassing. The idea that Derrick Henry, superstar running back, now ambassador of all things Old Spice, which is a subject matter that we could get to later. If we have enough time, but this man, I don't know. I don't know if it's for a lack of exposure. I don't know what is available to him in Yulee, Florida, where he grew up and where he has not, if he has not yet expanded his horizons in Nashville or before that in Tuscaloosa. I don't know. All I know is he's dead wrong on the idea that Wendy's, no free ads, is the best of the fast food hamburgers. And to your point, Mick, with him winning or the announcement being made this morning that he has since been crowned, no pun intended, the AFC's Offensive Player of the Month for October, I'm looking at these numbers because they played three games in the month of October. They played the Bills, the Texans, and now the Steelers. COVID disrupted their schedule slightly. But for the rest of the running backs around the league, or the rest of the offensive performers around this particular conference, I say fraud with this Offensive Player of the Month award. And I do not want that to sound as just complete and utter disparagement for Derrick Henry, because I think I find him to be an incredibly impressive athlete on a number of different fronts. But when two of the games that have been played in this month are for 57 yards, two touchdowns, albeit against the Bills, and then 75 yards against the Steelers. The one in the middle is 212 with the game winner in overtime and a 94-yard touchdown run. All of these things are impressive. But you mean to tell me that not one offensive player in the conference had a better performance than that? One for 57, another for 75? I don't care how many. I mean, I do care how many touchdowns you score. But, like, what is that? It's just laziness. It's laziness on the part of the NFL.
We can get into this more on the other side. Where do you fall on this? Also, Mike Vrabel talked a little bit today about Derrick Henry, his performance in the passing game. That continues to be something that Titans fans discuss. We can get into that more. Derrick Henry, AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Did his performance, Buck, laid out his case? Did it merit that? Maybe this was a lifetime achievement award for something, you know? Maybe it's something more like that. Maybe the 1 week was so good, Buck, that it overshadowed those other performances and buoyed him, I should say, onto the title of AFC Offensive Player of the Month. Here's the phone number, 615-737-1045. What do you think about the king? Let us know. It's Blaine and Mickey with special guest Buck Rising on 104.5 This Morning.